Well, it is very good to be able to stand before this group that's here in attendance, and also the few of you or several of you who are watching at home on live stream or listening over the telephone as we are having an opportunity again to gather together and to worship God. And I want to thank you for joining us and being with us here this morning. Before we begin our lesson, though, I did want to read something that had been sent to me by our dear friends, the Wood family and their relatives. We are so thankful and grateful that Ginger went through her surgery and was able to have her surgery on Friday, and that things went well with it and she's home recovering. But here's what they would like for me to read to the congregation today. Our family wants to express our sincere thanks for all of the love that has been shown to us in all the calls, cards, text messages, Facebook comments, and the drive-bys that have occurred during this difficult time for us that is occurring at this unprecedented time in our lives. The food train and money for dinners that has been given is such a blessing and an expression of your love, and it just touches our hearts so much. Your love and support has helped us so much to get to where we are in our fight against this. We know that we have more that we have to go, but your love and support and God's blessings and prayers to Him will see us through to a healthier future. For now, we are so glad to have this cancer removed and this behind us. We are so blessed with the results, the surgery, the doctors, nurses, hospital staff, and everyone which we have been blessed with being with. Thank you, and we love all of you so much from all of the Wood, Henson, Higginbotham, Meadows, and Holder families. So we wanted to read that today, and certainly we're going to continue to be in prayer for Ginger and for their family at this particular time. Today, at the request of a member from our congregation, we do have an outline that you can fill out if you want to download it and print it off today. And so if you are looking for that, you can see it. We're going to be dealing with this idea of faith over fear. Faith over fear. You know, we are living right now in such a difficult time, and there are many people who are living in fear. There are many people who are struggling with the isolation and the loneliness. There are reports of many people who feel depressed and closed in, and they're afraid of what's transpiring in our nation. They're afraid for the disease itself, and many people are concerned and anxious about what the aftermath of this event is going to be for our nation and our culture and for the world. So there's some anxiety that's associated with what's going on in our lives. And so what I wanted to do today for just a few moments is I wanted us to think about this idea of having faith over fear. And I wanted to share this particular passage of Scripture with you to begin with. Passage of Scripture that you're going to find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, some of the translations that you're going to read will say, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And that's certainly what He means here in this passage of Scripture, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And so as we go through this lesson today, I'd like for you to keep that in mind, that God wants us to overcome our fears, and He wants us to develop faith in Him, and it's going to help carry us through this life, no matter what the circumstances we face will be. And so we think about that passage of Scripture. And then we think about this question. What can we do to develop faith over fear? And that's really going to be the emphasis of our lesson today. What we can do to develop faith over fear. And I'd love for you to share some of these passages of Scripture. Make sure you're writing them down if you haven't. And we're going to read through a lot of the things that we'll discuss today. But really going to be three simple thoughts, three simple points for you this morning. The first one is this. Set your minds to think. If we're going to be able to overcome fear with our faith, then it's going to be us training our minds to do some things. We're going to have to start thinking. Now, when I think about several passages of Scripture, I can't help but be reminded of the passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So it's important for us right now, during this time particularly, when we are seeing so much negative publicity and press, and in fact, more than likely, if you have turned on your television and you've listened to some of the news station, you probably have gotten sad by hearing all of those reports coming in. We're sad about that. We're sad about our neighbors. We're sad about our nation and our country and the people that we know around the world that are dying from this or getting sick from. And we see that, and boy, you can just get caught up in all of that bad news so much. You know, sometimes we just have to do what? We just have to kind of turn it off. Because we can get to thinking so negatively about things so much when we hear about all of this bad news that it can bring us down. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to start thinking about good things. Let's start training our minds to think about what is holy and what is pure and what is lovely and what is beautiful. And take the opportunity maybe to even sit down and count your many blessings. And write about all of the things that you've been blessed with by God. And think about the lovely things and the good things. It's important for us to have faith over fear. So let's set our minds on the things that are above and not on things of the earth. That's what Paul calls us to do in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. In fact, to begin with, he says, I want you to put to death the things of the flesh, the things of the earth, and all of these negative things that can drag you down. And folks, let's understand this. Sin will drag us down. If you are involved in the things of the flesh and the desires of the flesh, those things are going to weigh you down. They're going to be a burden to you. They're not going to bring you the peace and the joy of life if you're so bogged down in those things. And so he says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, you set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So you want your faith to overcome your fear? Don't continue to be burdened and bogged down with thoughts of just this life and the things that exist here. But make sure that you're focusing your attention on the things of from above, the things from God. And then if we look over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, listen to what Paul says to the Roman brethren here in this passage of Scripture. And I believe it's a beautiful passage that might help soothe you and encourage you this morning. He says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. In other words, this will be a blessing to you. It'll help you be able to overcome the anxiety and the uncertainty and the issues of life if you will set your mind on the things of the Spirit. These are life and peace. So if we want to have our faith be greater than our fears and our faith be over our fears, then the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to start thinking about, setting our minds to think about things that are good, the things that are from above, the things that are of God. The second thing that we need to do is this. We need to set our minds to act. Let's act. Yeah, I love this passage of Scripture that we find, first of all, in Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if we look over at that particular text, here Peter is telling his readers, I want you to prepare your minds for action. And in fact, sometimes they say, gird up the loins of your mind. But other translations say this a little bit easier for us maybe to understand. I want you to prepare your mind for action. He goes on to say, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, if we want our faith to develop and to grow and to help us overcome our fears, then we need to start acting like Christians and living like Christians and start doing the good things that God has called us to do. And if we will do those things, what a blessing that will be to us. If we go back to Romans chapter 8 and notice verse 13, he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. We go back to that passage of Scripture, and I didn't read the full thought there a few moments ago. I wanted to bring your attention to this idea that we should set our minds to think. But here, Paul carries the thought to its conclusion in verse 9. And he says, when you have thought about those things that are good and honorable, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice these things. It's not enough for us just to think about them and, you know, oh yeah, that's great. Those are wonderful. Well, that's the first step. He says, I want you to act on what you come to understand and know. And if you'll act on these things, if you'll practice them, then the God of peace will be with you. Because you can see God's word playing out in your life. You can recognize the blessings that he wants to give you. You can see his hand in the things that are taking place. You know what? It'll give you peace of mind. It'll help you with your understanding. I want to invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to look at this particular passage of Scripture. This is a fairly lengthy reading, and we're going to read it, because I just believe that the thoughts here are what we need to hear to get us to act and to live as God would have us to live. Here, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says in the second half of verse 7, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Have you ever noticed that the Apostle Paul there compares training for godliness to bodily training? And he says, you know, bodily training is good for this life. You know, there are a lot of people who are healthy. There are a lot of people who pay attention to their diet. There are a lot of people that I see still, even to this day, out at the tracks. They're doing some running. They're isolated. But they're running. They're keeping themselves in shape. They're staying healthy. They believe that this is significant and important. And it is for this life. But did you notice what else Paul said? He said, but I want you to train yourself for godliness because it is good. What? For this life. It's good for this life. It's not just about the life that you're going to have after this world comes to an end. It is good for this life. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he means what we're talking about today. We're able to set our minds on the things that are good, to think about them, to act on these things, and to recognize that there is a God, that he is in control. He loves us. We can see his hand at work. And so living the godly life is good for this life also. Now, I want to continue with the reading, because what he continues to do is he continues to talk about how you can train yourself for godliness, the things that you will do that will help you. Because he says it's of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is a call to action. He says, if you want your faith to grow and for your faith to develop and for you not to have the same fears and the anxiety, then start training yourself for godliness. And then finally, set your minds to remember. Set your minds to remember. We're going to go back to the passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to look at a few things that we need to remember. The first thing is this from Romans chapter 8. We need to remember that we have a sovereign who loves us. You remember that. You remember that you have a sovereign who loves you. In verses 31 and 32 of this particular passage of Scripture, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" We go over to Romans chapter 6, and we notice there the passage of Scripture that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. I think I said Romans 6. It's Romans 5, verse 8. Here's a demonstration of God's love, and here it is manifested again in Romans chapter 8. When he says he has given his son for us, you have a sovereign who loves you. You have a savior that intercedes for you. Notice here in verse 34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's interceding for us. And then we see here in this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8 that we have a spirit, or the spirit that dwells in us. Listen to verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You have a sovereign who loves you, a savior who intercedes for you, and the Spirit who dwells in you. You remember that. And then when you think about that, consider the information here that Paul also gives us. He says in this question, and it's rhetorical, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And he didn't put it in there, but pandemic? Coronavirus? Who shall separate us from the love? He goes on to say here in verse 38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember. Remember. And if we'll think, and if we'll act, and if we'll remember, then we'll be able to make sure that our faith is stronger than our fears. Now, a few moments ago, Big Red stole some of my thunder today in my lesson by talking about Palm Sunday. In fact, if you have your outline, you'll notice that in the conclusion, the question was, think about what today is in history. It is, according to history, Palm Sunday. And it is the day where Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11, as we read earlier. It's in Mark 11, 1 through 11, Luke 19, 28 through 40, and John 12, 12 through 19. All of the gospel writers record this event. It's important. It was his triumphant entry. Now, his victory would come several days later in his resurrection. In fact, a week later in his resurrection. But I want us to think about Jesus, and I want us to think about how that he illustrates what we've been talking about today. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, verse 1 talks about, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race. We're going to run that race with endurance. And it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, some say perfecter, of our faith. And this is the phrase I want you to remember. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the throne on the right hand of God. Now, what does that have to do with our lesson today? Let me tell you. Jesus, in being able to be victorious, thought about the joy. He thought about the joy that was set before him. And in doing that, it caused him to act in a way that, despising the shame, he went to the cross. And you know what? He remembered where he was going. He remembered the throne that was waiting for him, that glory. Now you think about that. You think about those things that are good. You act on the things of the Spirit. You remember what we've discussed from Romans chapter 8. And then if we wanted to conclude, we could think about Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Even in these difficult circumstances, there are lessons for us to learn. There are blessings for us to find. And I hope that you will think about these things and that your faith will grow and it'll be stronger than the fears that you may have in your life. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Train your minds, overcome your fears, strengthen your faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you, to be a blessing to you, if you need our prayers, our encouragement, please contact us. Let us know. We want to be praying for you. We want to help you. If there's someone out there that recognizes that they need to strengthen their faith, that they need to be right with God, that they need to become a Christian, we certainly want to aid you and assist you in that effort. So if there's anything that you need, please contact us and let us know. This time, Steve is going to come and lead us in a song of encouragement.